Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Come on, give it up for Jesus, Florida and around the world. Come on, you can do better than that. Jesus, my God. You can be seated if you're good looking. If you're ugly, remain standing. Hey, I'm actually excited. Coming up September the 15th, we're having a men's event here in St. Louis at the Earth City campus. Come on now, the guys. And then in Florida in Royal Palm. So you wouldn't want to miss out and be a part of that. Also today, I want to say, you know, stoked about my sermon because I had an interesting week. I got to spend the week. Has anybody ever heard of a guy named John Maxwell? He's a famous author, 60 million books sold on leadership, and he actually called and asked me to go to Paraguay with him, and I did. And so all week when I was with him, I was just asking questions, talking to him, and I got to thinking about, at the end of our trip back yesterday, I was thinking that life is about adjusting your way to the top, whether it was him or his friend was with us, and I said, what do you do? And he said, well, I invented the cone for the rockets on SpaceX. And I'm like, I went to homeschool and I'm from Missouri. Have you ever felt like a mule at the Kentucky Derby, right? That was me. And when I was talking to these guys, I was thinking about their lives and their trauma. We just spent basically 9 hours together in a plane talking, and then 3 or 4 days together on the ground all the time. We were never separated. And when I look at their stories and I look at my story and I think about you, I think that everybody wants to go to the top. They want to go to the top in their marriage. They want to go to the top in their health. They want to go just to the top. How many of y'all don't want to be in the bottom? You don't want to be a bottom feeder. You want to go to the top. And I was thinking about how you get to the top. Like, you just don't wake up one day and go, hey, my name is Elon Musk. I woke up and I don't know how I got all this money, but I'm going to buy Twitter. I'm going to try it again over here. And you don't just wake up and realize I'm Lee Iacocca, or I'm President Clinton, or President Kennedy, or President whatever. You don't just wake up there. You aspire there, but life is a series of adjustments. And then you have to expect that there's going to be some setbacks on the way to the top. You think about Joseph. Remember Joseph in the Bible? Joseph had, you know the story. He has this dream. He tells his brothers, I'm going to be awesome. I want to be super successful. Number one, you got to be careful telling people how awesome you're going to be, because some people don't want you to be awesome. And when they find out that you're awesome and you actually live in a double wide and they lived in a single wide, they're going to try to kill you. Can I get an amen? So Joseph went from one trial and one obstacle to another, but he kept adjusting himself until he got to the top. Here's what I find out that a lot of people do, though. They just give up. They think it's never going to happen to me because, you know, people are like, man, my gosh, I've never been married. My biological clock is ticking. I want to have kids before I'm too old. I'm like, how old are you? I'm 19. Obviously, this gets worse and worse as we go through life and we start judging and comparing ourselves through social media. And so we look at social media and we're like, man, Barbara's life looks good and Bill's life looks great. But no, everybody puts their highlights there. And so we don't realize that you might be not showing your highlights in your life. And so you're thinking that you're bad and you're never going to be successful, but you have to adjust your way to the top. Raise your hand if this is making sense to you already. Shout it with me, every campus, shout, adjust your way to the top. Austin in Florida is going to kill me because there's some pictures of him when he was very young. But I was flying into DuPage Airport one time, and when I began to land, this is Chicago, the Windy City, I'm getting ready to land the plane, and I haven't been flying that long. It's just me and my dad in the plane. And now, all of a sudden, they told me, Saratoga 651 Echo Delta, expedite, hurry up. American Airlines needs to take off. Well, being a young pilot, I went ahead and did what they told me to do. And how many of y'all know, American Airlines, forget it. They've never been on time in their life. Screw them guys. But I did what I was told to do. I came in too fast, and the microburst hit me of wind. They measure it there at 130 miles an hour. Lifted the wing of the airplane, shoved me off of the edge of the air, and now I'm over just taking out runway signs and lights with 102 gallons of gas on the side, thinking I'm about to die. My dad is sitting there. He doesn't know how to fly the plane. All he hears me saying is, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Right? How many of y'all know that's better than what other people say on a flight recording? Come on, go with me on this, people. Give me something. And so now, slide down. It's very embarrassing. Now you're in the grass, and you're kind of like looking at all the big guys. You're like, you drive your way to the top. And so when I got in there with the FAA, they said, hey, you know, what happened? And I'm like, what do you mean what happened? I mean, a big, huge burst of wind hit. If I wasn't, I'm trying to fight for my license, you know. If I hadn't been a great pilot, I'd be dead right now. I'm incredible. And they started laughing, and they showed me the measurements. This only happens a couple, three times a year, but when it does, it is hilarious if you don't die. But I was talking to John about it this week, that life, that's just what it is. It's a series of adjustments. You might relate better to this. On the way home, driving home, you might say, I just live in Arnold, or it's just a straight shot to my house. It's not a straight shot to your house. There's a little bit of turn here and a little bit of turn there. You get what I'm saying? So just because you've had a setback, you lost a job, COVID came, she left, whatever that setback was, it's actually a setup for a comeback if you look at it as an opportunity to say it was a failure, but that's okay. Come on, shout, that's okay. I found out that you have to keep your successes and your failures, and you got to keep them together. I didn't make that up. A guy named Joel Osteen. Anybody ever heard of Joel? I like to get started with something funny. I never like to close a broadcast without giving you an opportunity to receive Jesus. That's one of my best friends. That's why I can make fun of him. If you're new here, I'm not making fun of him. I was preaching in Lakewood, and I said, I did that. And he said, do I blink that much? And I said, yeah, you do. But Joel told me a long time ago, you got to keep your success and your failure, and keep them together. Because if you just think about your failure, you won't succeed, and you'll feel like you're a loser. And if you just keep your successes, you get to thinking, I'm pretty incredible. And so if you don't keep your success and failure, and you separate them, it messes you up and it sets you back, because success gets better when failure is decided. Everybody shout that with me. Success gets better when failure is decided. And I would say hashtag humility, because when you fail a little bit, you're not so arrogant. I watch young people tell me, yeah, our kid's incredible. They got one kid. Thinking about writing a parenting book. This kid's under, goes to bed on time, sleeps 8 hours. And I go, don't write your book just yet. Let's just wait. Because if you have a second kid, this second kid might be Hitler's little cousin. And then they might have been good here, but they're not so good at 18. So I say, wait till they graduate high school, wait till they graduate school, wait till they come back after the divorce and live with you to write the book. See what I'm saying? So keep your success and your failure together, because humility is bred through failure, and it keeps the pride down. You got to keep them together. Everybody shout, keep them together. How do you do that? I think one of the ways you have to do that is you've got to find a mentor. You've got to find some people around you. You've got to find a good church. You got to get in a group, because life happens in groups, by the way. You don't want to do life alone. Whitney Houston, she died alone. Michael Jackson died alone. Elvis Presley died alone. People, the enemy and the enemy gets you alone and makes you make a drastic decision based on a temporary problem because you're focused on the failure.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something heavy right now, and I really don't want to tell it. You this, but I love you so much. I want to tell you this because it'll help you help people, but it's going to put a blanket over the crowd. And I know this. I communicate for a living. It's what I do, so I know what I'm about to do is not a good idea, but I'm going to do it anyway. I got a call yesterday from a buddy of mine. Not yesterday, the day before. 911, call me right now. He's on the phone. He says, oh, my God, oh, my God. I went in and I couldn't after my show, and I opened the door. I couldn't find my wife, and I went in the bathroom, and she was in the tub, and she shot herself, and she's dead. Oh, God. They're friends. And in a moment like that, I get those calls quite often from people. In those moments of life, you realize that people need people when you really need people. And you also need to realize that mental illness is real, and sometimes the enemy mixes with hormonal changes and situational changes and some bad news, and then all of a sudden people take failure and they don't put success up against it, so they say, my life is over, it's hopeless. It's never hopeless. Listen, Jesus is still on the throne, and if you'll just hold on a little bit longer, come on, somebody ought to shout amen. It won't always be this way. It won't always be this dark. You lost the job. You lost the husband. You lost whatever you lost. The loss is nothing compared to the gain that will be if you'll just stick with it. What if I was landing the plane and I went, Dad, we're going to die? No, you aviate. So you got to keep flying. Everybody shout, keep flying. But oftentimes you won't keep flying if you're not in a good church and you're not around the right people. And I said, the right people. You can be around people, but not the right people. Notice who he called. Notice there's certain people that call. If you're ever in trouble, how many know there's certain people you call? You got the person you call that's silly and a dingbat, and you love to go partner with them. You know who they are. And then you got the person you're like, if I need life advice, I'm not calling her. Come on, raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm assuming you're the person that we didn't go call. So you need that mentor. So there's a story in the Bible about Elisha and Elijah. When I was a kid, I was always confused about it because their names are so similar. You know, it's like, well, I couldn't have been Peter and Bob, but it's not. It's Elijah, he's the old guy, and Elisha, he's the young guy. And so I want to pick up on this passage. It says, so he departed from there, and he found Elisha, this younger guy. He found him plowing. He's working. He's got 12 yoke of oxen before him. Then Elijah, the old guy, passed by him, threw his mantle on him, and then he left the oxen, and he ran after Elijah, the old guy. Then he said, hey, wait a minute, can I go back and kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow you? And he said, go back. But it was more like a go back, you don't deserve this. So Elisha turned back to him. He took the yoke of oxen, he slaughtered them, he boiled the flesh using the oxen's equipment. In other words, he burned the plow. Then he arose and he followed Elijah and became his servant. Elijah is looking at his life and he's depressed in a cave, the old man. He's being chased by this girl named Jezebel. Remember this story right here? He's like, it's over, it's done. And then God came into the cave and said, what are you doing here? By the way, when God asks, what are you doing here? It's not that he doesn't know. Like, he's got a tracker on your phone and he's had it before you had a phone. It's more for you. Where are you? And so all of a sudden now he says, you're lonely, you're depressed, you're hiding in a cave. And he gives him three or four things to do. But one of the things that he really told him to do, he said, you're a mentor. You have a gift and you have pain and you need to put that pain in the process so other people can identify with not just your success, you've got to identify with your failure. That's why sometimes I make fun of myself in a self-deprecating way because people think, oh, Pastor David, he's really got it together. I'm always making fun of myself because this gap, you think, well, God did it for him because he's a pastor. I try to lower that gap so you realize I could be an example for you. I tell you about my divorce. I tell you about my pain. I tell you about crack. I've got a lot more good landings than I do bad landings. And the TWA captain here, he always says, you know, a landing you can walk away from is a good one. Can I get an amen? But I self-deprecate. I put myself down because I want you to realize that God will do it for you. There's potential on the inside of you, but not only are you need to be a mentee, you need to be a mentor. Not only do you need to get in a group, you need to lead a group because you've been a mom, you've been a dad, you have failed, you have been successful, you were on drugs. Somebody ought to give God praise today. And if God did it for us, he's got to do it for them. Come here, brother. Jared. I want you to help me with something real quick. So let's pretend he's Elisha just because he's younger and better looking. And I have Botox. He just looks this good. So he comes to him and he says, Elisha, hold on to my belt loop and whatever you do, don't let me go. Now, you got to remember that he's been very successful. And we know he's successful because he was running 12 yoke of oxen. You don't run. It's not a boy's game. This is a man's game. Then we also know that he owned the business because you can't burn plows that aren't yours. So this is a very successful guy, but he said, listen, I don't want to just be successful. I want to have significance. There's a difference. You can be successful and not have significance. In other words, you can have a lot of money, but your kids not love you. You can have a lot of money, but people aren't following you. Elisha adjusted himself. Remember I said you got to adjust your way to the top? But he adjusted himself down. He became a servant instead of being successful. He said, I'll just be a servant to that guy. In fact, later he ends up being a prophet. And they don't even say that, like, he's a prophet and give him a bunch of, names. And here's what he was. It said, he's the one who poured water on the hand of the prophet. Remember Jesus said, the way up is down. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? He said, the least of them. So he burns the plows, and he said, stick with me. He adjusted himself, and everywhere Elijah went, Elisha just followed. And then one day he decides he's going to go to this other city. He's going to work. He said, hey, I just want you to let go of me right now. I'm just going to go on this. You know, the trick was you never, ever let go of me. Try one time. You got it? You don't let go. You just don't let go. We didn't practice this. Can you tell? Give it up for Elijah. He's killing the game right now. So he says, no, really, let go of me. Let go of me. And he just won't let go. And see, this is the difference between people who survive and people who thrive, are the people who say, yeah, the marriage's bad, but I'm not going to let go. Yeah, it looks like it's tough, but I'm not letting it go. Gas is $10 a gallon, but I'm not going to lose hope. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever ask, think, or imagine, because the greater one's on the inside of me. Goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. I'm not going to let go. Everybody shout, I'm not going to let go. Success or failure, no matter what, we're not going to let go. He's not going to do it. But for real, this time I will let you go. Give it up for my good looking, singing man of God. Come on, you can do better than that. That guy killed that game. Matthew 19, check this out. Matthew 19, it says, verse 29. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or property for my sake and the gospel's sake, they will receive 100 times a return and inherit eternal life. By the way, I'm not preaching on money, but that also works with money. Yeah. Verse 30 says, but many who are the greatest now will be the least important then, for those who seem least important now will be the greatest then. Notice Jesus didn't say it was bad to want to be great. He didn't say, hey, you know what? Whoever's the least is going to be the greatest. And by the way, you need to pray through on this greatest thing because you need to pray that you're a dog. You need to be lowly. No, it's not bad to be successful. There's nothing wrong with healthy ambition. There's something wrong with unhealthy ambition. You still have to have that thing that our mentor, our great mentor Jesus had, where Jesus walked in and he saw all the disciples and it smelled bad and he needed to wash their feet because nobody really wanted to pick up the servant's towel. But Jesus lowered himself, the one who should have had his feet washed, and he picked up the servant's towel and water and he began to wash their feet. How many of y'all don't like feet? Raise your hand if you're like, I don't like washing feet. Let's try that one more time. I got to feel it's more people. See, not my toes right here. I got the craziest little toes. This little toe right here is like a weird toe. It's never touched the ground. I could sell it on eBay. It has no miles. That little toe, it's like brand new. But I tell Nicole, can you rub my feet? She's like, I don't do feet. She said, one or two times in our marriage, she said, if you go wash your feet, scrub your feet, spray cologne on your feet, I'll wash your feet. I'm like, it's too much trouble to do all that. But she just doesn't like feet. In other words, these guys are walking around. There's no cars. There's donkeys. You get what I'm saying right now? And they're stepping on stuff. So when they went into the room, Jesus said, I'm not going to pretend that it doesn't smell bad in here. And so he dealt with the issue, but he didn't deal with it as I'm the king, somebody clean it up. He said, no, I got this. When you have that kind of mindset and you don't think you're above anything, God will elevate you and give you everything. And people will look at you and go, hey, guess what? You are great. Right. Jesus adjusted himself, and we have to adjust ourselves. Adjust. So many times in life, I'm surprised, just stuff happens. Well, I didn't think that was going to happen. How many of y'all didn't see COVID happening? You didn't see the divorce happening. You thought everything was fine. You didn't see the cancer happening. You didn't see, but if you're not careful, what it is you look at that stuff and you think it's over instead of adjusting yourself to say, hey, that happened not to me, that happened for me. Now, here's where people really get screwed up. They say, you know, why did God do this? And everybody blames God for it. Now, the Bible says that, and this is what people don't know, if you read the scriptures, it says that every good gift and perfect gift comes from above. It said that God doesn't tempt anybody with evil. It said that the devil, John 10:10, if you want to Google it, it's in there. It says, the thief comes only, that's his primary job, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if it's stealing, it's killing, or it's destroying, it's not God. It's the devil. So God didn't cause it, but God is right there to help you through it. But you have to adjust your mindset to it, because if not, you get really depressed and you give up. And it's really easy to give up, especially when your hormones. By the way, I'm not just talking to girls. I'm talking about guys who have emotions. I have hot flashes. Guys have hot flashes. That's why guys buy Corvettes at 40. Can I get an amen? It's like, I need to feel sexy. I lost all my hair. I got Chester George disease. My chest is in my drawers. But you know what? I'm still sexy. I'm going to buy a car. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? So everybody's got it. All the girls got it. All the boys got it. Everybody got emotions and hormones. And some days, I'm sad. Some days, I'm glad. But then I got to say, wait a minute. What I'm going to do is I'm a true follower of Christ, so I'm going to renew my mind. And I'm going to listen to some podcasts. I'm going to read some books. And I'm going to tell David Crank how he feels. By the way, I'll tell you this. I shouldn't tell you. I've already told you one thing I shouldn't tell you. But I actually told you two things. I told you Nicole didn't rub my feet. She'll be like, why'd you tell people that? I'm never rubbing your feet. I'm like, you did it two times, 25 years. I'm not scared. By the way, I'm really brave. She's not here today. She's in New York. I talk really big when she's not around. But one of the things you do in life, if you're not careful, is you start getting three or four things that give you what I call reverse momentum. Now, forward momentum makes you look better than you are. And reverse momentum makes you look worse than you are. Anybody ever gained a couple pounds? And now you're like, screw it. Give me those Girl Scout cookies and give me some ice cream. Come on, maybe it's just me. And then I go in two or three times and I put hard shell on it. And then I'm just like, this is incredible. I'm releasing dopamine in my brain. My body's telling me, do it. It feels so good. And it's like, quit doing this deal where you go back and forth. You're wasting steps. Just get the whole carton of ice cream. I've done this right here. And bring it all in. Am I the only one that's done this? And I just sit there and I'm enjoying it and I'm releasing dopamine. And man, I'm feeling good. And then when I'm done, I realize I've eaten one of the rows. Girl Scout cookies, you might not know, but it comes in two cylinders. And you got the cylinder on the right. I've eaten the cylinder on the right. I'm into the one on the left, and I'm halfway through it. And Nicole's going to know that you, David Crank, have you eaten all of those and half of those? So what we have to do right now is we have two choices. We can either hide them or be honest. So I have went outside to our trash can. Open up the trash can, move trash around. I'm confessing right now. And I have hid the ice cream. I'm just confessing to you guys. I hid the ice cream and it just went away. It just went away. But it really didn't go away because now I go to bed and I hear my stomach when I turn over, it goes. Anybody ever heard this sound? I'm like, am I lactose intolerant? No, you're not. You just ate a gallon of ice cream. And at 12,000 calories of Girl Scout cookies, my insulin level's crazy. And so now that good feeling that I had starts going, and then I go, David Crank, how out of control are you? I'm like, dude, you're the one that told me to eat it a minute ago. What are you talking about? No, you're out of control. Who are you, a leader? What are you doing? And then being a liar and then hiding the evidence right there. I mean, that's a gateway drug. Raise your hand if this is identifying with you. So that wasn't God that made me do that. It was my hormones and it was my flesh and it was thinking about the negativity. And now I'm making more bad decisions, giving myself reverse momentum instead of saying, wait, I'm gonna do what I need to do right now, which is kind of what Elijah did. We got to burn the plows. I was out of town this week and our assistant did something really neat. She put a big old pile of Hershey Kisses in her house. And when I seen it, I thought, oh, wow. And then I seen it and thought, why would you do that to me? Nicole's in New York. I'm alone. My God. And I just said, I'm making a decision. I'm not eating it. Just not going to do it. Then I got home, got some bad news. Y'all see where this is going. And about midnight, I went in there and I grabbed three or four. And I'm wrapping them and unwrapping them. Little wrapper pieces are flying. Evidence is everywhere. Just forget it. It's not. You can't even clean this up. It's like OJ steel. It's just a mess. You can't fix it. And I started eating it, and then after I ate four or five of them, my body said, go back in there and get four or five more. So I did. I went back in there, and I got four or five more. And then in the middle of the night, I get up because I'm older. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? And I get up in the middle of the night, and I felt like my blood sugar or something had dropped, and I needed to go back, and I got two more. I'm chewing it on the way back to bed. And then I thought, I'm not going to tell Don, but Don's here, and I'm just telling you right now, I don't even know how many I had. I was intoxicated with chocolate. Anybody ever been chocolate drunk? My point is that what I decided to do, I didn't have the power to do unless I burned the plow. So what I should have done was said, Karen, thank you so much. Please don't put this in our house again. Please take it away and get it away from me because I don't have the willpower to say no. I can say no to a lot of stuff. And I remember Nancy Reagan had the Say No to Drugs program or whatever. And I didn't pay much attention. I should have. But you got to get it away. May I tell you that sometimes if you've abused alcohol or you've abused whatever it is, you got to distance yourself. You got to burn the plows. You got to say, you know what? I need to get a small group so people can check on on me and go, yeah, you need to go to church. Come on, somebody. And you need to not just show up for the preaching. You need to show up for the worship. And you need to go through growth track. And you need to get around the right people. Because if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. See all the self-deprecation that I put on myself here? I'm not always that bad. Obviously, I'd weigh 900 pounds. But there are days. Anybody vote with me that there are days? It's like, don't talk to me today. Praise the Lord, brother. Like, don't, not today. I'll slap you if you try that. So we've got to, as I wrap this up, we got to go with that principle that Jesus said. He said, you've got to pick up the servant's towel. And you got to keep moving forward, and you've got to be the change. Jesus didn't say, my disciples should do it. He said, no, I'm going to pick up the towel, and I'm going to make a change. So here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to think about the areas of your life that you're like, wait a minute, I really do want to adjust my way to the top, and I've seen that I'm negative with my husband. I'm negative with my wife. Actually, home is the place I'm going to stop being nice. You've heard my story. You're in a grocery store. Somebody hit me one time accidentally on the back of the hills. How many of y'all hate that when that happens? And the person said, I'm sorry. I looked around and I said, oh, that's not a problem. The next time I was at a store, Nicole hit me. And I'm like, what? Why in the world would you do that? Keep a distance between. Nicole's going to pick up my nursing home. I don't even know these people over here. Why am I being mean to her? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. And I'm being mean to her and not to the other person. It doesn't make sense. Because home's the place that we. So we need to start putting some filters on our mouth and go, you know what? I'm just going to be. Take Jesus out of the equation. Just take Jesus out of church for a minute. You know what would help Christians? If they're just nice. If you just operate in the fruit of the Spirit, go, you know what? Let's love people that are different from us. Let's say, hey, I don't think like you and I don't look like you and my persuasion is not that way, but I'm not going to try to get you to clean up or get you. See, the church is getting so political. You'll never hear politics here because I didn't come to preach politics. Last time I checked, Jesus said in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I'm not saying that that laws are bad. I'm just saying laws aren't fixing anything. We got more laws than we ever had. You know what's going to fix it? Jesus. You know what's going to fix it? Love. You know what's going to fix it? Love your neighbor as yourself. We got a job to do in Palm Beach County and St. Louis County, and we just got to love the hell out of everybody until they want to come to Jesus. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.